when it comes to the mysteries of our faith that are so sublime as the mystery of the Trinity, three persons in one God, some people think that there is very little that can be said, really. We just sort of have to leave it on its own and say, it's a mystery, and that's it. But we can actually learn a lot from meditating on the mystery of the Trinity, which we celebrate today. Let's start simple and hopefully keep it simple. I'm wondering if anyone can tell me a definition of grace. Two words, or back there. Anyone remember? What's grace? Two words, or anyone else? God's life. Good. They didn't know that in Wilbur. So we're already ahead of the game. God's life. So grace is God's life. We receive grace. We are filled with God's very life. So when we're baptized or confirmed, when we go to confession or receive Holy Communion, when we get married in the church or ordained, when we receive the sacrament of anointing of the sick, or in any other way that God chooses to give us grace, what God is doing is simply, but beautifully and profoundly, filling us with God's very life. Simple enough. But why does God give us grace? Anyone? Why does God give us his own life? He loves us. Yes? Indeed. Why else? What's his purpose in giving us his life? For our salvation, yes? Anyone else? Simply put, God gives us his life so that we become like God. If we have God's life in us, then we should be something like God. Think back to the book of Genesis. God created us in his own image and likeness. So God made us to be like God, not to be gods, as some religions believe, but to be like God in as much as our human nature allows us to be like God. And that's where today's celebration of the Holy Trinity comes in. Because as we meditate upon the Trinity, we come to a deeper understanding of what God is like. God is one God, but in three persons. If we reflect on God as one, what are some of the attributes of God? How would we describe God? Wilbur had trouble with this one too. It's not that hard though. Some words we use to describe God. Almighty, wise, all-knowing, forgiving, merciful, patient maybe, generous, kind, good. We have a whole slew of words that we can use to describe God. Virtuous, you know. So when we reflect that God gives us his life to make us like God, he wants us to be more and more like him in these ways. Kind, generous, patient, merciful, wise, and so forth and so on. So that's our first point for reflection on the Feast of the Holy Trinity. Are we allowing God to fill us with his life to make us holy? And what are the areas of our lives that we can still bring to God and bring before his grace so that they can become more and more holy? But being filled with God's grace is not just about growing in personal holiness. We are not just a bunch of isolated individuals. No. God reveals that he is three persons. So the very essence of God is family. God is a community, a communion of persons. So God reveals to us by his very nature the importance of relationships with other people. He doesn't just say, well, I'm one and you guys all strive to get along together. He shows us in being three persons how important it is to be connected to other people and to be united in the bonds of love. So if we ask ourselves, okay, if God wants me to receive his grace, be filled with his life, to become more like him, and he is a community of persons, how is it exactly that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit relate to each other? They love each other, right? Love is the essence of God. The Father loves the Son, and the Son loves the Father. The Holy Spirit is their bond of love. But look at what Jesus says in today's gospel. He makes a very striking claim. Did you catch it? He says, "Everything that the Father has is mine." That's pretty bold. If someone came to you and said, "Everything that God has, it's mine," we'd say, "Did you take your meds today?" It just doesn't make sense sometimes. I mean, it's hard to believe, we'll put it that way. And yet that is the claim that Jesus makes. Everything that the Father has is mine. But that gives us a little insight into the nature of the relationship of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. Because the Father, it means that the Father has given everything he has and is to the Son, to belong to the Son. And we know that Jesus gave everything to God. He allowed himself to belong completely to God. And the Holy Spirit as well. They all have allowed themselves to belong to one another. They've given themselves to each other in perfect love. Well, this is the model for us in our relationships with other people. It's very easy, at least for me, I can speak, it's very easy to focus first on my own needs being met and then to think about someone else. Or even on a day that I'm feeling generous, I might go out and help someone or share or seek to do good for someone. But sometimes I do that in a measured way. I calculate first what I have to give, and I give that. Or I make sure that I have time to do what I want to do today, and then whatever's left, I'll do something for someone else. Thankfully, I don't always live that way, but it's tempting, isn't it, sometimes? Think first of ourselves, and then of the other. But this isn't how God, the persons of God, relate to each other. The other is always first. And the less that we think about ourselves first, the less we are first seeking to provide our own needs, the more we are able, the greater capacity we have to love our brothers and sisters. The way that we love here below has an impact on how we love in heaven. There is no place for selfishness in heaven. There is no place for looking out for ourselves first in heaven. So God gives us this great gift of family, whether it's spouses and the nuclear family or extended family, neighborhood, church family, our towns, whatever level we want to think of family at. God gives us these contexts to learn how to love as God loves, selflessly, always looking for the good of the other, and allowing ourselves to really belong to the other. and trusting ourselves to others so that all of our energy might be spent in doing good for our neighbor. Maybe you've heard the little poem of the fellow who arrives at the gates of heaven, and he seems to be a little bit judgmental, so we'll warn you ahead of time. But he says, "I was shocked, confused, bewildered as I entered heaven's door, not by the beauty of it all, nor the lights or its decor, but it was the folks in heaven who made me sputter and gasp, the thieves, the liars, the sinners, the drunkards, and the trash. There stood the kid from seventh grade who swiped my lunch money twice. Next to him was my old neighbor who never said anything nice. Herb, who I always thought was rotting away in hell, was sitting pretty on cloud nine, looking incredibly well. I nudged Jesus, 'What's the deal? I would love to hear your take. How'd all these sinners get up here? God must have made a mistake. And why is everyone so quiet, so somber? Give me a clue.' Child," he said, "they're all in shock. They never thought they'd be seeing you." Let's pray for the grace today, especially as we receive our Lord. Let's pray for the grace to love like God loves.